This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents World Keeper, Chaotic Times by Justin Miller, narrated by Stephen Bell Davies. Chapter 1. Once Chell left, I met up with Tsubaki and the others again to begin to fill them in on what had happened. Of course, this would happen right as we were launching our new game. Because of World Seed's launch, I was now in a somewhat tricky predicament. Oh, yes, there is an apocalyptic invasion on the horizon. By the way, the long-awaited title World Seed has now been released. If I tried to release the information too soon with World Seed, it would only cause unprecedented chaos among the various worlds. I knew that I was going to have to take advantage of the time acceleration in order to gradually share the news with the world, just enough to help guide them towards the next step of preparations. "What do you wish to do, my keeper?" Tsubaki asked in a serious tone, Dana and Lifra sharing her concerned expression on either side of her. "Before the invasion, we have goals we need to complete. First, we need far more fallen gods at our disposal to fight the Void Beasts. Secondly, James and his team have to finish their new Void Generator. We'll be needing it for the invasion, more than likely. Third, all of our planets have to connect with the Hyperlane Network. Finally, we need severely upgraded Void Barriers around each realm. Even with all of that, I knew that I wouldn't be able to save everyone. This was someone who had been strong enough to worry a keeper at the very peak of the fourth rank. I didn't want to think about the number of casualties we'd have to face from this. Tsubaki nodded her head, a look of contemplation on her face. Regarding this matter, I have a suggestion if my keeper is willing to hear it. Of course, Tsubaki. You know that your input is always welcome. I nodded my head to reassure her, and her tails began swishing happily. Before the invasion, we can evacuate people to Fior. Fior has never struggled with void monsters due to the various layers of black stone. Despite how many cling to its surface in the void, the effects can't be felt within the world itself. My eyes widened at that, and I quickly nodded my head. Yes, that's right. Though, I don't know. Fior has so much space, it can easily accommodate all of the residents of our primary worlds. Even Lorik and Spica could comfortably move their entire populations over to the rest in the higher floors. However, the others, like the network of the Mitong, the March's Empire, even if Fior has so much space, it can't fit two galactic empires. Tsubaki's suggestion was truly a good one. However, there were still gaps. For instance, the apocalypse could destroy all life left in the worlds that had been evacuated, crippling future production. Tsubaki pursed her lips, then nodded her head. In that case, I suggest that my keeper at least move Olympus to Fior before the battle. No matter how much damage the rest of the world suffers, there is still the possibility of recovery so long as my keeper remains alive. It may seem cruel, but nothing can be allowed to happen to you, personally. My eyes widened at Tsubaki's suggestion. It was logical, but still, it was hard to imagine Tsubaki suggesting that I run away from a fight. As I was thinking that, Dana sent me a brief mental explanation. We found something in the meeting previously. It let Tsubaki become a keeper herself until she hit the first rank, and I became her system companion. I let out a long sigh when I heard Dana's words. Ah, I see. Thanks. Tsubaki had always been protective of me, but it hadn't been to such a great extent that she was unwilling to let me fight at all. From what Dana said, she must have learned from her own time as keeper and gained a new level of understanding for what it meant. Tsubaki, I can't just sit the invasion out. An invasion of this scale is meant to target someone of my strength. If I don't participate, there may not be a world left to save. I spoke to her in a gentle tone, but Tsubaki shook her head. As long as my keeper evacuates a large enough population to Fior, We can rebuild after the invasion. I gave a somewhat bitter smile at that. And what if the apocalyptic void monsters invade Fior, using things like the fairy rings? You can't possibly expect me to destroy those and trap everyone on Fior, can you? Tsubaki's eyes widened, and she bit her lip softly. Seeing that, I continued, I will move Olympus to Fior, but I will also participate in the battle in the void. That way, I won't be caught in the initial wave of destruction. This is the best that I can promise you. Tsubaki clenched her fists before letting out a long breath and nodding her head. Her eyes came up to focus on my own. Very well, my keeper. However, until such time as the invasion, I will continue to strengthen myself to ensure that I can fight alongside you. That's what your legend's all about, isn't it? I asked her, with a knowing smile. My life is in your hands, Tsubaki. I trust you to guard it well. Tsubaki gave a firm nod at that, a faint hint of a smile returning to her. At the same time, Lyphra jumped over.
Okay, now that that's all out of the way, let's get started with World Seed.
I blinked, looking over at Lyphra. Now's not really the time, is it? I asked, feeling a slightly awkward atmosphere. However, Lyphra merely smirked at me.
Now's the only time for it. All those preparations that you talked about, how many of them can you actually do right now? You've got to release the game anyways, right? Or what, are you going to wait however many years it takes to get everything ready and then only start the game after it's already old news?
I hesitated at Lyphra's rebuttal, not really able to find the words for it. This time it was her turn to press her advantage.
You can't do any of your preparations right now. The only thing that you can do to help yourself is to try to have a bit of fun, to take your mind off of things. Besides, you could get a super awesome seed from the game, and that could turn the tide of battle in the future, right? Right?
Tsubaki's head shot up at that, her eyes wide in realization.
That's correct. Items from the game may be brought out into the real world. If a sufficiently powerful elemental seed is discovered, it can be retrieved. So far, the only such seeds in existence are the imitations made by Lady Aurevi.
About that, I'm actually curious to know what will happen.
Dana suddenly spoke up, causing the others to look over at her.
Well, think about it. The elemental seed system is supposed to be its own type of magic with its own rules. However, the ones Aurevi made are just a modification to elemental magic. Clearly, they operate under different rules, and were just the closest representation that Aurevi could make. Now, assuming that Dale hasn't purchased the elemental seed system for the other worlds, that means that the digital conversion system will try to translate it to a suitable item following the same logic as when it sends a magic card into fragments of Acidia.
That's a very good point. I nodded my head at her words, now curious myself as to what that would create. Will it make the same type of seeds as Aurevi, or something entirely new?
In my opinion, I think it will create a new type of magical artifact capable of replicating the effects of the seed, as opposed to the one that only enhances an elemental mage.
Dana spoke up with confidence.
That's my expectation, based on various tests with the digital conversion system.
Right. Either way, we'll need to get started on the game to find out. Once we get in and find one, we'll be able to test it out. As I said that, I took a deep breath, descending back to Olympus. Ashley had already uploaded the server information of World Seed, so it was ready to be accessed at any time. All that was needed was the distribution of the software to connect to it. I sent a message to Ashley to announce the release of the game, and then one to Chio to make sure that the game was fully ready. Finally, I sent a message to Gerard to update him on everything that was happening while I went with Tsubaki and the others towards the game room of Olympus. Speaking of which, the Sylvans are an all-female race. Please tell me that Ashley set up both genders for the game. I suddenly felt a pang of dread as I slipped the visor over my eyes. We could have logged in with our virtual selves, but they were in the middle of a mission to deliver high-level materials to a neighboring empire, so it was best to do so with our real selves. To my surprise, there was no character creation period. When I logged into World Seed, the only option I had was which world I wanted to spawn in, as well as whether or not I wanted to do the tutorial. I asked Chio to put us all on the same world, one that wouldn't immediately be flooded with new players when the game went live. There was a flash of light, and I found myself standing beneath a bright sky, atop a grassy plains. Looking down, I was relieved to find myself looking like a male equivalent to the Sylvan species. I had golden, plant-like skin, leafy vestment, and I could feel my long elven ears. As I was confirming my own appearance, several other flashes appeared alongside me. Looking over, I saw multiple female Sylvans appearing, though it was impossible to immediately identify all of them just by their faces, given the race change. There were 5 shorter girls and 4 taller ones. Those numbers did not seem to quite match up with the amount I was expecting. "Okay, everyone. Roll call." I spoke up, and the players all began to introduce themselves. The 5 shorter girls were Lifra and Dana, who I expected, but also Auravi, Sienna, and Clara. The 4 taller ones were Subaki, Julia, Rion, and Leowen. I looked curiously at Rion and Leowen, only for Rion to give me a knowing smile. "It takes 10 to establish a tree, right? Or were you planning on abusing admin power for it?" She had a point. I hadn't honestly thought about that. As for Auravi and Julia, their reason for being here was obvious.
"Should we set up the tree here, then?" Auravi asked impatiently, grinning practically from ear to ear. "The spawn point will automatically change once the tree's been established, so other players won't just appear here, even when they do start showing up on this planet."
I gave a small nod, and the 10 of us all linked hands. Setting up the tree was rather easy, but also slow. Although the process was not nearly as long as a real ancestor tree. Normally, having a tree fully grown would take a year, at which point the green Sylvans will appear together with the first golden. Instead, the growth of the tree this time would take 24 hours.
"Do we need to have someone remain behind to guard the tree while we go explore?" Clara asked curiously, though Dana shook her head. "Even if they stayed behind, it wouldn't do much good. Better to move on our own and find a seed so we can start developing our powers," Auravi said, with a shake of her head. At the same time, I had a thoughtful expression. If admin commands are used to grant a seed, would that seed still be able to be taken out with digital conversion? I thought aloud, Auravi looking at me with a somewhat disappointed gaze.
"Technically, yes, but that's no fun," she pouted at that, causing me to chuckle.
I only want it so that I can test the digital conversion system, not to use for myself. That said, if I didn't find a good seed before the invasion, I would most certainly choose to grant myself one through the admin controls. Auravi blinked, having recently had the same thought as Dana when it came to that system.
"Okay, but we've got to get rid of the in-game seed afterwards. Those are the rules that I just made up."
Chapter 2. After discussing it with everyone, I used the admin controls to acquire a basic, strong wood seed for myself, and then saved it with the digital conversion system. With that done, I logged out, pulling the visor off of myself in the real world. Now, in World Seed, this seed took a form similar to an elongated egg, with wisps of green light and smoke circling around it. When created with the digital conversion system on Earth, it took the form of a smaller, circular token. On the front of the token was an icon of a tree, and I could sense rich mana and natural energy from it. Narrowing my eyes, I focused on appraising the token and activated one of my more rarely used keeper abilities. Magic Seed. Strong Wood. Ability. Reads the user's mana to create their intentions via manipulating wood. Can be absorbed by the body for more convenient use. I blinked as I read through the description of the seed in my hand. Like we thought, it's different than the ones Auravi made. There will probably be a few companies trying to figure out how to reproduce these in the near future. I shook my head, pinching the token between my fingers hard enough that it shattered, dissipating into mana and natural energy. Afterwards, I leaned back in the seat and slipped the visor back into place to log back in. When I arrived, I found the others all waiting for me, so I quickly explained the effects of the token that had been created. At the same time, I got rid of the one that had spawned. Honestly, if I wanted to keep a seed, it would be a much more powerful one. Our characters were already essentially high-level druids and shamans, so that particular seed only gave a slight enhancement when using wood-based abilities.
So, my seeds earlier were a failure?
Aurevi asked, pouting her lips. Julia quickly shook her head to deny Aurevi's statement.
I don't think that they were a failure. I think that they were a proper integration between the seed system and the regular geometric system. This is just a complete translation,
she assured with a bright smile, causing Aurevi to nod her head.
All right. So, now what?
She looked around, Dana being the first to answer.
Monster hunting. That's the whole point of this game, right? Finding, taming, and fusing monsters?
That's right, Rian agreed, seeming a bit eager herself. With the 10 of us here, there's no reason to wait for the tree to finish growing. Makes sense. I closed my eyes, nodding my head and focusing. With so many of us, I had no doubt that we would take on some monsters on our own. There's a pack of monsters resembling wolves off to the east, about 300 meters. It looks like they're slowly moving towards us, so they're probably on the hunt.
What element can you sense from the creatures? Tsubaki asked, causing me to arch a brow. I discovered when I was playing this game with Dana that all monsters release a faint elemental fluctuation in this game, which showcases their affinity.
I gave a small nod, sensing them once again.
Water. No, ice.
They're releasing a faint aura of ice in their surroundings. When I opened my eyes, I saw Aurevi, Dana, and her familiars all grinning at one another.
You girls thinking what I'm thinking?
Aurevi asked, the other three nodding their heads.
Thunderstorm!
They shouted in unison, before holding their hands up to the sky and focusing. Natural energy surged around their bodies, forming a thin pillar of light that shot into the sky. Immediately the clouds began to darken, rolling and thundering.
Isn't the rain just going to make them stronger?
Leowen asked, though Julia shook her head.
The rain will only fall if they want it to. They're condensing the clouds and building up the charge in them. It's a basic druid principle to save energy on creating larger streams of lightning.
As Julia finished speaking, we could see the wolves in the distance approaching for the first time. Frost spread where they stepped like footprints, and they were charging over to surround us. At a glance, there were 20 of these beasts, though I knew that there were a few more hiding in the back from when I was sensing. I felt a surge of energy, lightning bolts as thick as my body, striking down and gathering around the four girls. They did not hit the ground and dissipate, rather condensing into orbs that hovered around them. When Aurevi and the others opened their eyes, these balls of lightning shot out arcs of electricity, leaping from wolf to wolf. In the distance, I could just imagine the hiding monsters turning and fleeing at the sight of the pack, being incapacitated like this. Their bodies slid along the ground, twitching as the electricity clung to them. Well, that was anticlimactic, I thought to myself with a shake of my head, looking at the wolves. So, it looks like there's enough for everybody to have a starter pet, I said, only to be interrupted by Aurevi.
Wait! This is a perfect chance!
The others all looked over at her for an explanation, Aurevi grinning.
The monster fusion system! Fusing a monster with its own kind has the highest success rate. It won't change into a new species or anything, but it will strengthen the original monster in all aspects. With so many frost wolves, you can create a single pet, strengthened four times over. That'll be more useful than having all of us with a single frost wolf.
I see. In that case, who wants this one? I looked around. None of us had any particular affinity with the ice element, so it was really up for anyone to pick.
Oh, I'll take it. I've always wanted a puppy, ever since Dana got hers.
Lifra jumped into the air, waving her hand. Aravi nodded her head, explaining the process.
Go over and tame 16 of them, then split them up into groups of 2 and fuse them together. Repeat this process until you have only 1 left. As for the other 4, you can create a double strengthened pet in case we need more frost wolves in the future for you to continue strengthening.
Lifra nodded her head, running over and placing her hand on the 20 spasming wolves. Each one was wrapped in a faint glow, vanishing briefly before reappearing and standing calmly beside her. As I watched this process, a thought occurred to me. Why don't we just save one as a blueprint, and then recreate it repeatedly to further the strengthening process? Lifra's ears perked up, looking at Aravi in excitement. Unfortunately, Aravi shook her head.
There's nothing like Bloodheart or Mageheart in this game. If we want to create a monster, we need another source of ki and mana, or else we'll be bleeding ourselves dry every time we make one. There might be upgrades we can get for the tree to produce large quantities, but until then, we don't have an option like that available.
That earned a small pout from Lifra, who sullenly returned to taming the wolves. However, halfway through, she looked over in a panic.
Aravi, I only have 10 pet slots.
Aravi simply rolled her eyes at that.
Just merge them in pairs as you get them. Make sure you only merge them with ones of the same level, though. Otherwise, there's a risk of negative mutation.
Lifra blinked, quickly fusing the 10 she had already acquired, before resuming the taming process. Every time the wolves fused together, the result was a larger, more powerful beast. Originally, each of these wolves was as tall as my waist, but after she was done, there was one just as tall as I was when standing on all fours, and one that was more than double my height. The taller of the two released an unmistakable aura of ice, the ground beneath it freezing. Just standing near it caused the temperature to drop by tens of degrees. Its breath was a cloud of frost, and Lifra happily climbed up on top of it.
I'll call you Fenny.
As she spoke, she unsummoned the smaller of the two, looking over at us. Although the beast was quite large, it was not enough for all of us to ride together. At most, the smaller 5 could ride together with 2 of the others. Seeing this, she pursed her lips. Reluctantly, she dismounted from Fenny and unsummoned it, causing it to fade away.
Well, let's find the next batch, then.
She quickly cheered herself up, leading the way to continue. When Ashley released the news that World Seed had been released, there was a rush of activity. Players from every game eagerly went to check out the new product. It had been so long since Fragments of Acidia first came out, they were looking forward to seeing what awaited them in this new game. There were those who first checked Dark Flame Technologies' website, making the connection between this game and the old Natural Seed game. However, the fact that this was a real game opened up so many possibilities. There had always been people wanting to bring the effects of elemental seeds into the game world, with only varying amounts of success based on personal experiments. Additionally, many were interested in the prospect of playing as a Sylvan, given that the vast majority of the population never had the chance to interact with this relatively reclusive race. Finally, there were the monster tamers of the world, eager to see what sorts of creatures they could create within the game. Like Aravi, many of them quickly realized that they wouldn't be able to bring their own pets into the game. But the reverse was entirely possible. As long as they created a sufficiently powerful monster in the game, they would be able to reproduce it in real life. The only real downside was that they would no longer be able to fuse that monster in the real world, as that system was exclusive to the game. Regardless, there were billions of players for World Seed with only the first 3 hours of the game's launch scattered across the various worlds. They were coming together to form their own trees, some opting to skip the tutorial, while others experienced it for themselves to get a better understanding of how to utilize their new abilities. Meanwhile, as World Seed became flooded with players, various research institutions received a message from the Ashtanu Research Foundation, led by James. This message, which came with the God Queen's seal, gave a priority order to these research stations to focus on void defense plans for an indefinite period of time, with the God Queen herself agreeing to handle the relevant research fees. Although there was no explicit reason given, this message was already quite effective. Few people would refuse an order stamped by the Greater Pantheon, and these institutions were chosen due to their excellence in void studies to begin with. Although some were reluctant, they put aside their current projects to begin looking into better defense plans for the void. While this was happening, various churches of the Greater Pantheon were likewise being given a mission to select skilled candidates to ascend as fallen gods. As with the researchers, there was no explanation given, only the mandate that candidates must be chosen and trained for this new position. With most of the world distracted by the new game, World Seed, there was a silent operation in the background to help prepare for the inevitable. And although this operation was missed by most, there were naturally those few able to pick up on it, due to their connections with various sectors. The clan elder of the ninjas, as a prime example, looked at the various reports that had been compiled. With their information network, it was an easy thing to piece together. Despite the secretive nature of the research teams, many had long been infiltrated by them. So, there is some void threat anticipated by the Greater Pantheon, perhaps even the Keeper himself, the elder muttered to himself as he looked at the reports. With the information in front of him, the elder naturally had one objective, and that was to prepare on his end as well. If there was a void threat, then they would need skilled soldiers to fight it. Chapter 3. We spent the rest of the day in World Seed, each of us getting a new monster companion. Since none of us took the tutorial, we didn't get the free pet that it offered, and instead had to make do with finding our own. For instance, the one that I received first was a bird capable of firing wind blades with a flap of its wings. After combining it with a fire attribute lizard, it became larger, able to wrap its body in flames as well as shoot them out, like its basic ability. However, we weren't able to find any powerful elemental seeds. Out of the simple need to have something, each of us acquired either a flowing water, strong wood, or solid stone seed. If we wanted something better, we would need to rely on luck to find it. On the bright side, our tree had fully grown after an entire day of waiting, and it was spreading its influence to reshape the meadow where we spawned into a dense forest. This also meant that we could begin work on the research projects that the tree offered. Looking at those research options, there were a few things that caught my eyes. First, I would choose to go down the mutation tree, which would grant new abilities to the players. Alternatively, there was the option to create natural weapons, such as spears or swords. Then there were the monster-related options, letting players bind monsters to the tree to automatically protect it, or even have more monster slots. The final research path that really attracted my interest was the ability to set up shops in the trees, where players could sell the items that their tree created to players from different areas. That was likely to be the basis of the game's community-driven content. The first thing that I was interested in was the mutation path, as it would enhance the strength of the players both in the short term and down the road. When I selected the option to research mutation, I was surprised to find a text field appearing in front of me, asking to define the goal of the mutation. Blinking, I looked over at Aurevi, who had the most experience playing this game in the beta. Aurevi grinned, seeming to realize what I wanted before I had the chance to say anything.
You picked a mutation to research, right? I think it's because of how Ash set up the system, so it's more free form rather than strict choices. Just type in the mutation goal and it will process the request. First, it identifies if any other mutations are needed to make it work, creates a list of everything required, and then displays it for you. There's something sort of similar with weapons, as it asks you to design the weapon you want, and then goes through material research and all of that. To have an itemized list, you need to choose one of the options that interacts more directly with other systems. I gave a small nod of my head,
thinking that over. Out of curiosity, I began writing in the text field, telling the tree to create a mutation to allow natural flight. Upon confirming my choice, I waited to see the list of research options that it created. Research. Body modification. No extra resources required. 4 hours. Research. Additional limbs. No extra resources required. 4 hours. Research. Wings. No extra resources required. 4 hours. I couldn't help but arch a brow at that. 12 hours wasn't that bad. Still, I canceled that research project, as it was only a test to begin with. We can already use natural energy to fly with a bit of effort, if I want something useful to us. After writing in the new entry to the system, I nodded my head. The ability to sense elemental seeds at a long distance would ensure that we were able to find the most fitting seed for each individual, as long as it was close enough. The list of researches for that, though, enhanced senses, enhanced natural affinity, natural energy distortion detection, mana detection. In total, it would take a week to get through the entire list. That time frame might go down as more research units are spawned, but that's still quite a big difference. Regardless, I nodded my head and let the tree get to work. We'll need to find 5 elemental seeds of different types if we want to finish this batch of research. When I explained that to everyone, they blinked, quickly looking at the tree's user interface. While they were doing so, I began thinking to myself, it's already been 1 day of the month. Even if the game is fun, there's no way that I can keep doing this the entire time. And if I fast forward, not only will our progress be lost here, but the company we've worked on in Fragments of a City will likely fall apart. My fist clenched at the thought, knowing that the safety of the world was far more important than having a bit of fun in a game. If I fast forwarded, then my virtual self would be frozen. Dana, I want to give you a mission.
You want me to go out and find the seeds?
Dana tilted her head, blinking. However, I shook my head. Not for this. In Fragments. I want you to set the company up so that it can operate without us for an extended period. How long would you need for that? Dana's eyes briefly widened, but she gave a nod of her head.
I should be able to have it done in a few hours. We don't have any named NPCs, so all I have to do is set up an automated system for trades that would let us maintain our current status. I can't guarantee growth, or that we won't be bought out in the time that we are gone, though.
That's fine, I nodded my head. If the company is lost, I'll just give up on getting the technology of that game through a player's means. I plan to do a 10-year skip to give time for the current void defenses to be upgraded to the next level. After that, I'll probably put my virtual self in this game, since it has more potential for training. I looked over at Aurevi, Rion, and the others. I'll leave it up to you to keep this tree going until then as a side project. If Tsubaki or the others wish to go to the admin room to join me for the skip, they can. Same with you, Julia, of course. You can be with Aurevi there, or here, whichever you prefer. Julia smiled, reaching down to hold Aurevi's hand in her own.
I'll remain here. I'm the god of wood, right? Who better is there to manage this tree? Do you have any requirements for how you would want it to be when you come back?
I thought about that before shaking my head. If it's possible, I'd like the tree to be able to generate elemental seeds itself. 10 years is a lot of time for a game, and I expect there will be many people that manage to achieve interstellar travel either by reproducing our technology through natural means or unlocking special abilities. Speaking of, if it is possible, having the tree generate ki and mana would make it easier to operate in the future, since we would be able to use the digital conversion system more freely. Aside from that, Aurevi can fill you in on the details of our enemy. As I prepared to log out and ascend to the admin room, I added on another detail. I don't expect that this game will be the key to overcoming our trial, but rather just a supplement to our abilities. Don't feel too pressured to come up with something powerful. It's more important to just have fun and enjoy yourself. After saying that, I logged out of the game, with Dana and Tsubaki following me. It seemed that Lifra had chosen to stay, descended, likely to find her own adventures over the coming years. While I was getting ready to ascend to start the process, I heard Tsubaki speaking to Dana.
"Dana, please join my keeper once you have finished the mission he asked of you," she said in a soft voice, causing both Dana and myself to look over at her in surprise.
"You're not going to the admin room with us?" Dana asked curiously,
actually looking above Tsubaki's head to see if she had any damage, such as a fever.
"I figured you'd stay right next to him the whole way."
Tsubaki shook her head, smiling towards me.
"While I believe that would be nice, I must remain here in order to train. As my keeper has pointed out, the upcoming invasion is a difficult one to overcome. For that reason, I ask my keeper's forgiveness, for I won't be able to join you this time."
I hesitated, looking at Tsubaki. "Will you really be all right by yourself here?" Tsubaki's smile became wider at my concern.
"I am not alone, my keeper. There are the others of the Greater Pantheon here, though I will be focusing on my own matters. If I truly find my solitude to be overwhelming, I will join you."
I pursed my lips before giving a small nod.
"I'll hold you to that, Tsubaki. I'll see you soon."
After I said that, I ascended to the admin room to get things ready.
"I will see you in 10 years, my keeper."
Tsubaki bowed at the sight of the keeper leaving, Dana looking over at her.
"Are you sure about this?" Dana asked,
knowing just how important it had always been for Tsubaki to serve the keeper. Tsubaki merely nodded, her eyes closed.
"He will have no need of me in the admin room. It is better to spend my time accumulating experience for the coming battle."
Dana arched a brow.
"What if I say I'm going to play all sorts of games with him while you're gone?"
Tsubaki's ears twitched, lowering slightly.
"How is it that your ears are still the most honest part about you? Well, that and your tails."
She looked back at the drooping tails.
"Take care of him while I'm training," Tsubaki said,
in a soft tone, causing Dana to nod her head firmly.
"Don't worry, Tsuba. If he needs anything, I'll take care of it."
After she said that, Dana turned to begin carrying out the mission given to her by the keeper. Although she could simply let her virtual self settle the matter, it would be handled more quickly if she took part by writing out plans in the real world. While she was doing that, Tsubaki took a deep breath, walking to the exit of Olympus before tearing open a gate in the void. When she walked through the gate, it took her to the entrance of the Ashtanu Research Foundation. She walked calmly, her hands at her side, before opening the door of the building. Inside the building, she gave a cursory nod to the security cameras, making her way towards the main lab. However, she was intercepted in the hall by Chelsea, who came out with a puzzled look.
"What are you here for, Tsubaki? We've already started the research that Dale asked us to do."
"I am not here to trouble you with that. I wish to ask for a favor."
Tsubaki shook her head, going straight to the point. Chelsea's face immediately turned serious, knowing that a favor for Tsubaki was never a normal procedure.
"I wish to undergo the full process of perfection."
Chelsea blinked before her eyes widened.
"You obtained the perfect self already. You can't go back and do the soul now. And without that, you can't do the perfect will.
You know that, right?"
Tsubaki nodded her head calmly, clenching her fists.
"I am aware. However, in order to overcome the challenges ahead, I must obtain the saint body. For that reason..."
Her brows knit together, her body seeming to crack as energy gushed out of her. Chelsea leapt back, her eyes showing shock.
"If you disperse your perfect self, you'll lose some of your foundation. Your ki and mana will be damaged, making the refinement of the saint body even harder. You might even die from the dispersal."
"I am aware. That is why I came to you.
A damaged structure may be rebuilt."
After saying that, her body erupted in energy, tightly contained to prevent damaging the building that they were in. Still, the floor shook, Tsubaki's power gathering back together to form the hazy outline of her figure again.
"Long, long ago, I became the first person to achieve the perfect self with the resolve to live and die
for my keeper. As she spoke, she began walking down the hall again, her energy held tightly in place to prevent it dispersing. Nothing has changed. Please, set up the procedure.
Chelsea's eyes shook as she watched Tsubaki, who wasn't even able to condense a completely solid form at this moment.
She knew perfectly well that that wasn't just because of Tsubaki's core energy being damaged. Rather, it was because of the pain Tsubaki must be feeling, having her very existence torn apart and loosely clumped back together. Her current state was as if someone had ground a refined diamond into tiny particles and merely rolled those particles up into a single ball. Her health bar was at the very bottom, barely holding on with just a sliver of life, representing Tsubaki's willpower and sheer refusal to die. Chapter 4. The process of having her spirit and body remolded by the machines in James's facility was, honestly, not as bad as Tsubaki expected. In truth, she barely even felt it, though that was largely in part because of the already overwhelming pain of her current state of existence. Only once her body was stabilized and perfected again was she able to calm down, her face incredibly pale.
"Are you all right?" Chelsea asked, when Tsubaki walked out of the second device.
"You can take a break if you need to. There's no need to go straight into the final step."
"I'm fine," Tsubaki said, with a shake of her head.
Her health was already starting to very slowly rise.
"I'm familiar with the last step. My current condition should not be a problem."
Chelsea let out a soft sigh, nodding her head.
"All right, then when you're ready, proceed to the..." "And she's already going!"
Chelsea couldn't help but grunt, seeing Tsubaki already entering the third machine. Chelsea walked over to the console, taking her time to make some adjustments. Although Tsubaki insisted that she was fine, she knew better. The pain that Tsubaki had endured would be enough to drive most people crazy, or even directly shatter their souls. Chelsea wanted to give her at least a few moments to recover herself before she began. Thankfully, as Tsubaki had said, the perfect will did not have such a dangerous setting. Rather, it was all about bringing the user's mana into a closed loop with the rest of their perfected aspects. When the soul, body, and mind were brought together like this, it created an astounding change. Thus, Chelsea hit the button to begin the machine once she had all the settings adjusted to someone of Tsubaki's status. The machine whirred to life, and Chelsea watched the monitors for any signs of danger. Tsubaki might have been blessed by the heavenly gate, but that didn't mean that it was okay for her to just die. After all, that would mean that Tsubaki was unable to accompany Dale when he was in true danger. That was something that she would never be able to forgive herself for. Inside the machine, Tsubaki did her best to clear her mind. Now that her body was stabilized, she did not need to maintain her ironclad focus. With deep, calming breaths, she felt her mana being pulled by the machine, coursing through her body. She did not resist the process, merely feeling how her mana changed throughout the cycles, how the other energies were pulled to merge with it and bathe it in the purity of perfection. And then, the process was over. Tsubaki didn't feel incredibly different compared to when she entered the machine, but it had clearly stopped operating. With a pneumatic hiss, the door opened. Tsubaki walked out, about to express her doubts, but Chell got to it first.
"Before you say anything, this is normal. The machine only starts the process. Depending on the scale of your mana, it can take anywhere from 24 hours to a week before the conversion is complete."
"I see." Tsubaki nodded her head.
"Is there anything else that I need to be wary of during this time?"
Chelsea thought about it for a moment, shrugging her shoulders.
"Not really. Once the process is complete, you'll have a full, perfect form. This means that you won't have to worry about energy conflicts in the future, and will be able to gradually integrate any saint energies you have with your body."
Tsubaki blinked, confused.
"What do you mean, no energy conflicts?"
"Huh? I thought that was why you wanted to do this."
Now it was Chelsea's turn to be confused.
Aside from being able to form the saint body, the primary reason people pursue full perfection is because of the fact that it prevents any energy conflicts. For instance,
You will be able to have your mana and ki interacting with one another without either merging into chakra or exploding. Any energy formed by the basic types will be able to interact like this. This is what makes the saint body itself possible. You can even have a saint body composed of multiple saint energies.
I see. Tsubaki gave a small nod. You said that it's only for the four basic types. Am I to assume that divinity is not included?
Although the primary energies were used as a catalyst in ascension, the true essence of divinity came from the natural divine spark living within everyone.
That's right. There's not really much conflict with divinity to begin with, but I don't include it because there is still conflict when you mix divinity with the void. Energies that only use a trace of the void are fine, but not ones that use it for more than 20% of its makeup.
I'll keep that in mind, Tsubaki said, her mind racing. She had already decided one saint energy that she wanted to give herself, but had assumed that she would need to discard world sight in order to create a true saint body with it. Now that she discovered that was not the case,
I would like to ask for an energy formula from your research facility. It is one that I saw some time ago.
Chelsea blinked at that, looking up at Tsubaki.
Sure, which one? Wait, let me guess. It's either the dark truth or the one light.
Tsubaki smiled slightly, nodding in confirmation.
One light. I have a substitute for the dark truth already.
You do? Chelsea arched her brow in curiosity.
Well, if you're sure.
She walked over to her terminal, pulling up a file.
Do you have a terminal on you, or should I send it to the Olympus database?
Send it to the Olympus, please.
Tsubaki's terminal had been an unfortunate casualty when she shattered her physical form, as she found that the storage space she had developed, thanks to Asnod's regular cooking of the new ginseng, had been destroyed. It wouldn't be hard to get a new one, and she had all of her files backed up, so she wasn't particularly upset. It was just a matter of inconvenience.
All right. The detailed description and development steps of One Light have been sent to the Olympus database. It should be ready any time.
Chelsea smiled, and Tsubaki gave her a nod of thanks, before turning to leave.
In truth, Tsubaki was deep in thought.
I wonder if there will be another trinity that happens when I create a threefold saint body.
Tsubaki had chosen each of her energies because of their relationship with one of her domains. For light, there was the One Light, a karmic energy that weaponized the user's karma. When the user used this energy to attack, their attack was amplified by the strength of their karma, whether it was positive or negative. Additionally, if their karma was strong enough, their attack would cut open space, flying back to the source to deliver a second attack to anything along the way. With proper positioning, the One Light made dodging a futile effort. Next was her domain of stealth, which she paired with World Sight. World Sight was the ultimate detection energy, capable of seeing through any manner of stealth or hidden devices. While it did not directly aid her in stealth, it was enough of a connection that Tsubaki felt like it fit best out of all the energies she knew. Finally, her new domain of service. For this, she had received insights into a new energy herself during her time as an impromptu keeper. She wanted to bring it back to present to her keeper as a gift. Now that this invasion was happening and she needed to prepare for it, she thought it was best to demonstrate firsthand what her energy could do. Dark truth was an energy that consumed the user's power and vitality to fulfill a promise that they made, whether it was protecting someone or performing some task. Tsubaki's energy, contractual obligation, worked similarly to placing restrictions on one's divinity. By restricting herself with a promise or pact, she would gain an increase in power based on the severity of the restriction.
10 years. That should be plenty of time for the energy to build, especially after I create a saint body.
Tsubaki smiled to herself, tearing open a gap in the void. After stepping through it, she found herself back in Olympus, nodding her head. As soon as she came back from the Keeper meeting, she synchronized with her service avatars, refreshing her basic knowledge of how to use energies in this world. As such, she was confident that she would be able to form her contractual obligation.
All she had to do was wait for her mana to complete the purification process. In the meantime, she considered her avatars and whether or not she would need to reform them. Thankfully, those avatars weren't destroyed when she dispersed her main body. But now that she had upgraded herself, would she have to do the same to them? It would probably be for the best, right? They're currently operating with an incomplete frame, though. How much will that impact them? No, wait. Would I even be able to create a perfected version? I am using the service energy as the core, rather than a perfect soul. If that's the case, I wouldn't be capable of giving them the same immunity to energy conflicts to begin with. Of course, it was entirely possible for her to create avatars purely from her newly created perfect form. However, the reason why she used the servant avatars to begin with was because of their ability to operate autonomously, while still providing the necessary feedback for her to train. If she simply made a perfect avatar, she would need to split her focus in order to control it, which would defeat the purpose of the legend that she established. As she thought about these details, she gradually made her way into Olympus, taking the elevator to her own palace and walking into one of her training rooms. Her keeper would be gone for the next 10 years, so she had to do her best to surprise him upon his return. I'm surprised that Tsubaki didn't come with us. I shook my head with a sigh, looking at Dana, who had just appeared in the admin room. Dana stuck her tongue out playfully.
She learned some things while she was a keeper, so I'm guessing she wants to put them into practice now.
I watched Dana, curious about what she said. What could she have learned in an unranked world that would improve her current status? I'm pretty sure that anything she could do there, she could already do here. Dana simply giggled, shaking her head.
Suba wouldn't like it if I spoiled the surprise. All that I can say is that she didn't have any companions while she was a keeper, other than myself.
That made me pause. I could understand the implied meaning, that she was able to purchase more advanced knowledge without it boosting her rank, but there was something more important. How long did it take? Dana blinked, seeming surprised by my question.
Huh? Oh, Suba did a lot of stuff, hands-on, after she revealed herself. In total, we were there just under 3 standard years. Yeah, that sounds right.
I reached over, lightly patting Dana's head, surprising her even further. Thanks for staying with her through all of that. Although 3 standard years were still shorter than the time that we were skipping now, there was a key difference. They consciously realized that they were in a simulation, and that they were the only ones real. This knowledge would inevitably make it more difficult for either of them to connect with another being on a social level. Thus, although the time was shorter, I was sure that it was one of the most lonely times that Tsubaki had been through since her time in hell. Dana's smile turned soft again, and she stuck her tongue out.
As long as you realize it. It was weird being a system companion. All that stuff that I both knew and didn't know at the same time. Like I was always watching a million blurred movies in the back of my mind. I knew the name of every movie, but they'd only become clear if Tsubaki had the relevant information for me to access it. And now I can't remember any of it. Just that it was a thing.
Chapter 5. The process of forming a saint body, once one met all of the prerequisites, was actually not very difficult. Instead, it was a simple matter of accumulation. The challenge came from meeting those prerequisites. Whether it was completing all 3 steps of perfection in sequence, or creating the saint energy itself. Tsubaki had already trained 1 saint energy, with her world sight already being quite strong. As for contractual obligation, she had thoroughly mastered the steps to create that. The only challenge was 1 light, which Chelsea sent detailed instructions on how to achieve. While Tsubaki was waiting for her perfect will to stabilize, she underwent the process of creating these 2 energies. Roughly 4 days later, she felt something shift within her mana, a jolt shocking her entire body. She could feel that her mana was no longer leaking out of her body. With a thought, she could prevent any of her energies from leaking into the surroundings, preventing them from being detected by any passive systems.
After that, it was just a matter of letting her energies spread throughout her body. Chelsea had mentioned that there would be no conflict, so Tsubaki was taking advantage to allow the three energies to circulate throughout her body. Rather than letting them stay within their energy cores, feeling the rate of her energies spreading, Tsubaki was able to calculate roughly how long it would take before she was fully saturated.
4 months?
Her brow furrowed, but there wasn't much that she could do to accelerate the process. She had already created a service avatar to practice the perfect soul class, and was preparing another one to train the One Light.
Thankfully, my keeper will not return for 10 years, so I have plenty of time.
It only took a few minutes for the world's acceleration to end, during which time Dana remained by my side as if trying to fill Tsubaki's role. It felt strange, having Dana there instead of Tsubaki, but it also let me see just how dedicated Dana was to keeping her promise. Once the acceleration was done, I called Chelsea, Leowyn, and Ashley to meet me in the living room. Progress reports? I glanced between the three of them, as they were the ones with the most to do in this planning. Leowyn was the first to speak up. Her hands rested proudly on her hips.
I've set up fallen god programs in every world to cultivate those with the talent for the void. Some graduates are already emerging, but we'll need more time to get a full fallen army.
Good. I smiled towards Leowyn, nodding my head. I had considered using my new perk from being at the fourth rank in order to get a fallen companion. However, I decided that it wouldn't be that useful to me. Normally, such a system would help open the populace to the concepts of training in the Chaos attribute, but I had Leowyn to help with that. Besides, companions weren't allowed to interfere with an invasion, so they wouldn't be of any help to me either way.
I guess I'm up next, Chelsea said as she stepped forward. Thanks to the digital conversion system, we've managed to create an automated process of integrating stars into the Hyperlane network. Void interference, as at an all-time low, even with worlds such as Lorik and Spica. Additionally, the third-generation void shields are currently being installed. I gave a small nod to acknowledge her progress.
We'll definitely need to keep working on that. What about that void generator you guys were working on?
The void core? Chelsea asked, nodding her head.
We've finished the theoretical design and are entering the testing phase. James went and procured us a new realm that we can use as the staging ground, and the construction has already been completed. Since we knew the timing of when you'd resume the world functions, we scheduled the test for this afternoon.
Procured?
I arched a brow at Chelsea's choice of words, though she gave a small smile.
He used the fairy ring without a marked destination until he found a world that appeared uninhabitable. We can't make any guarantees for the planets beyond the one we found, but it is the safest ground for us to test. If you'd like, I can signal for him to activate the void core and begin the initial testing procedure.
After this, I shook my head, looking over at Ashley. The demoness snapped to attention as she reported her own achievements.
World Seed is being rather widely accepted as a new genre of game, and people are continuing to export elemental seeds from the world. Several trees have achieved interstellar capabilities via organic ships. As for the tree you left to Julia, she has managed to cultivate it to the point where it is capable of generating both ki and mana internally, and can also cultivate elemental seeds. However, the latter function requires multiple seeds of that type to be consumed to begin the process.
Aurevi wished to have me report that she found a seed that you would like as well.
I blinked in surprise, signaling for Ashley to continue.
There is a seed that can only be grown in a very specific environment. First, the planet must be tidally locked, while also within the Goldilocks zone. Secondly, on the dark side of the planet, there must be a source of water that remains still for 50 years. Any ripples in the water will set the clock back. So, Aurevi estimated that the true time of creation was closer to 250 years. Once these conditions are met, a still mirror seed can be produced. Aurevi found this seed and discovered that the magic unlocked with it allows the user to reflect abilities back at their source.
That was certainly interesting.
I see.
Did she export the seed?
Ashley gave a small smile, nodding in confirmation.
That's right.
She's been exporting at least one of every seed she's found, trying to create her own collection.
That definitely sounded like Aurevi. Nodding my head once again, I turned to look at Dana.
Will you be joining me to watch the Void Core test, or do you want to go meet up with Tsubaki first?
Since she needed to watch the test from the admin room anyways, I wanted to take care of it before descending.
Dana thought it over for a moment before smiling slightly.
Suba entrusted me with staying by your side until you return. We can meet her again after this test.
When Chelsea heard that, she closed her eyes.
I just sent word to James to begin the procedure. Because of the circumstances, there will be nobody on site to conduct the test, and all operations will be handled automatically. If anything goes wrong, I'll be the one to report based on what we observe here.
I could understand that level of extreme scrutiny, given the fact that we were dealing with a potential information hazard. Even if something happened, it would be fine as long as Chelsea watched from the admin room. On a desolate moon, a giant structure suddenly lit up, having received a remote communication. Immediately afterwards, the channel used was closed. At the center of this facility was a large blue sphere carved out of a giant lump of mage heart. Beginning startup sequence. An electronic voice echoed throughout the facility, yellow lights flashing. All personnel, please enter the anti-information chambers. Repeat, all personnel to the anti-information chambers. The giant gem lit up as metal rings rose from the ground, slowly circling it from multiple angles. Void synchronization rings online. Synchronization rate climbing. 5%. 10%. 15%. Synchronization stabilized at 20%. Activating void interference field. As a black speck began to grow within the large gem, a translucent field surrounded the machine. Void interference field online. Identifying predefined coordinates. Injecting mana generation code. Mana generation online. Increasing void synchronization rate to 30%. Deep in the void, within an empty shielded space, a blue sphere suddenly formed. As it did, the shield surrounding it began to flicker to life. Void synchronization stabilized at 30%. Energy feedback detected. Energy levels minimal. Activated energy shielding. Estimated time for energy viability, 48 hours. Entering idle mode to observe energy readings. Chelsea smiled as she saw the process happening on the screen.
It's a success, she called out happily. With this, we can prevent any future energy crises. No, Leowyn shook her head with a grim expression on her face. It was a failure. What?
Chelsea paused, looking over at Leowyn.
But the generator world was created within the shielded space, and all of the systems reported normal.
Leowyn offered a sad smile, snapping her fingers. The screen shifted, showing another world within the void, one where cracks were beginning to spread along the surface of the world's shell.
That's our testing world?
Chelsea asked to confirm, her face going pale.
That's right. The raw essence of the void is seeping in. By my estimation, 3 galaxies have already dissolved into nothing, and the corrosion will reach your facility in an hour, assuming that the cracks don't spread far enough to completely shatter the realm.
Chelsea's entire body sagged at that, a long sigh escaping her.
Was the synchronization rate too high? It could have created a weak point in the world barrier. I'll need to get back to James. We can lower the synchronization rate and try again on the next testing world, though the energy efficiency will drop a bit. Once it's up and running, we can make up for that loss. That's good and all. But if you have more than one of these per realm, won't it end up being the same result? You'll need to be able to cover the entire realm's energy supply from one station.
Chell flinched at that remark before letting out a long sigh.
We don't plan for something that grand. This is more of a supplement than anything else. Once the Void Core is fully operational, we'll be able to provide easy power to various worlds, filling in for the gaps left by local production methods. Dana's eyes widened when she heard that. Even such a big manosphere is only treated as a supplement? What would it take to fully cover the power requirements? Chelsea tilted her head, seeming to run a few calculations.
Roughly 5 of these per world. Letting them stockpile energy for 2 weeks before slowly powering on. However, like Dale said, the world barrier wouldn't be able to sustain that kind of damage. The perfect result would be through creating a void energy converter directly in the void, where it would be able to provide essentially unlimited energy, and then have that energy shipped where it needs to go. The problem is corrosion. Materials left in the void will begin to dissolve without proper shielding. But that very shielding would prevent the converter from operating at full power. In the end, we'd be suffering a loss by keeping it active. I couldn't help but sigh as well. So the only way for true unlimited energy is to make a purchase from the system. I had expected as much, but still. At least the Void Core will make things more convenient in the future. Chapter 6. Unfortunately, it seemed that the matter of the Void Core wouldn't be completed just yet. There were still a few major hurdles that had to be overcome before it could be used practically. Still, the fact that we were making progress was a good sign. After all, I fully intended to undergo more skips during this month in order to prepare for the incoming invasion. Let's go, I nodded towards Dana. There wasn't anything else that we urgently needed to do in the admin room, so it was time to go and see Tsubaki again. At least, that was the idea before a prompt appeared before me. A system-wide vote has been initiated. Please cast your vote as a Rank 4 Keeper. Proposal. Expansion of the Keeper's ability to set up sub-accounts for their companions, allowing them to purchase items from the system from the areas set as their domains by their respective Keepers. If there is an overlap of world law, give the Keeper the option to modify the world law or spend a small sum to install it as a plug-in for that territory only. Caveat. Ability disabled during invasions. Yes or no? I paused, blinking, as I read through the contents of the message. A system vote? I muttered to myself, Dana's eyes widening slightly. I've never seen something like this before. Is it like when everyone got their keeper titles? Oh, it finally happened? Dana asked, causing me to look over at her. Tsubaki did something during her time as a keeper. I can't remember the details from that part fully. However, she came up with the idea and submitted it to the system. Apparently, the system told her that it would put out a vote after the annual meeting. Why is it only happening now, then? It had been a couple days at this point since the end of the meeting, so a vote should have happened already. I thought you'd ask that when I noticed the vote happening. Tara's voice spoke up before I felt her arms draped over my shoulders from behind. I ran over here just so I could give you that answer. There was a playful tone in her voice as she hugged me from behind, clearly happy for the contact. Since I spent most of my time in the world, I wasn't able to spend as much of it with her as either of us would like. I brought my hand up to gently hold one of her hands. Hey, Tara. So, about the vote? I asked, and felt her nodding her head against me from behind. The vote trickles down from the top. First it goes to the 7th-ranked keepers, then it passes in that tier, the 6th rank. The fact it made it to you means it's already gone all the way through the 5th, and now it's our turn. Right. I nodded, looking at the message again. So every rank has to confirm it in their own votes?
Mm-hmm.
Almost. At most, 2 ranks can deny it. If more than 2 ranks deny the vote, it is cancelled. So just vote however you want, and don't worry. Even keepers in the middle of an invasion will get the system prompt for this. I let out a small sigh. Well,
This was a vote that Tsubaki herself asked for. Of course I was going to vote yes. As soon as I had pressed the button to confirm my vote, I felt Terra's arms briefly tighten, before loosening enough to let me go.
"See you soon," she said, in a happy tone,
as if seeing me off to work, which, in a way, she was. "I'll be back." I nodded my head before taking Dana and descending as I had intended. This time, nothing got in the way of the descent, and I was soon back in the body of my host. Unsurprisingly, Tsubaki was standing in front of me, but I could sense something was different about her. Or rather, the problem was that I couldn't sense her at all, even though she was standing right in front of me. Only when I swept my world sight over her was I able to tell what the cause was. Tsubaki's body was fundamentally different from the last time that I was here. Her body seemed to be a complete combination of world sight and two other energies that I had never seen before. As I scanned her, her eyes lit up, her head lifting.
"My keeper, you have returned."
"As I promised," I smiled, glancing just over her head before my eyes went wide. Her level had massively increased, reaching beyond 12,000. Aside from my own keeper power level, she was easily the highest level entity in my domain, far surpassing